Well, he's the youngest leader of one of the world's oldest democracies, and on his 40th birthday, things seem to be looking up. Emmanuel Macron upended French politics in May when he was elected president, a pro-European former investment banker who stared down a challenge from the far-right's Marine Le Pen. Now, buoyed by a string of improved opinion polls this week, Macron has announced a ban on oil and natural gas drilling by 2040. Joining us now for today's Global Check-In is Nicolas Tenzer, the editor of Revue Le Barquet and an associate professor at the Paris School of International Affairs. Thanks for joining us. Just tell us about this ban on drilling for oil and natural gas in France. It sounds like a very big decision.
Yes, it's a very important decision because I think that Macron is willing just to lead by example. And I think that if France hasn't taken by itself some measures, I think then it could have jeopardized the legitimacy of France. So I think there are a lot of measures. The ones you mentioned, it's the first country in the world to ban any new oil exploration licenses with immediate effect, and all oil extractions by 2040 within the country and also overseas territories. That's the first thing. And then France is going to close its large 5 coal-fired power plants. So I think it's a very big change. And of course, France also is taking a lot of measures to go into more renewable energies and also to finance some support to research and many different things. So I think it's a very good move.
France, though, imports 99% of its oil and gas anyway. So how meaningful is this announcement? How much of France's energy needs does this decision impact?
Well, I think, of course, it will take time, and I think that it's just impossible for France just to ban all oil export and this sort of things. But, of course, France has a very big, and that's important, also controversial, I must say, a lot of nuclear power plants. And I think that with the energy mix of France, of course, nuclear energy, and, of course, that in the decades to come, renewables will have a growing importance. But we have just to prepare the transitions. We have, of course, to make the cities more economic, and I think that we have to build energy efficiency houses. We have to move also our park of cars towards electricity and new ways to new generation motors and all these sort of things. Of course, it will take time, but I think that we are just on the move.
Can we be clear about this? Would France be able to take a decision like this on oil and gas if it didn't have such an abundance of nuclear energy supply?
Yes, I think that France cannot do, of course, both. I think that, of course, we cannot imagine to close our nuclear plants. That will be just impossible. But I think that we must, you know, in the years to come, we must also find other sources of energy. But of course, you know, you don't have a lot of sun in France, depending, maybe you have more in the south. And of course, you cannot, for instance, have a lot of, new nuclear, solar, energy items. This will be quite difficult. But you have a lot of source of energy, and we have also to reduce our own consumptions. And taking just a lot of big cities like Paris, we just want to, of course, it will take time also to ban the cars from the very center of Paris. We have to develop also trains. We have to develop other ways for the people to move to the cities. And I think that's also a change of the behaviors of the people themselves. We cannot, of course, wait everything from the state, obviously.
We've been reporting a bit in recent weeks on a range of different things Emmanuel Macron has said and done in relation to renewable energy. We obviously covered the One Planet Summit in Paris, where he made this claim that the battle against climate change is being lost. We've covered France's push into Africa, building and selling renewable energy plants, for example. Now this story about banning oil and gas exploration and drilling. Why has Emmanuel Macron decided to stake so much on renewable energy and take steps that are well beyond where other nations, particularly developed nations, are at?
Well, I think there are different factors. The first thing, of course, you know, the new energy sources, and especially renewables, must be, economically sustainable. And we hope also to be true and good competitors also in this realm. Many people say that, of course, with the new energy measures, we could lose some jobs, etc. But in fact, you could create a lot of jobs through all these other sources. Then when it comes, of course, to the development aid to Africa, and I think it's very important because all the countries must, of course, have their part. And of course, African country and poor countries by themselves cannot finance, you know, all these new infrastructure, energy infrastructures. So I think it's quite also the very pivotal, you know, from his point of view, to have this global view. We have also to understand that the companies, the investors, must turn against fossil fuels. Just take an example. You have a big insurance company, AXA, which is a world-leading company, who has decided to speed up its investments for the carbon sector. And I think that's also a very good sign that we have to witness very clearly.
But essentially, Macron thinks there's money to be made in taking these steps.
Yes, certainly. And I think that's what many countries already do. You know, just look at China, South Korea, and also in the US, you have also all the businesses turning into new energy sources, renewables, and making a lot of research. And I think that's part of the new economic game. It's not just, again, I will say, the business and against the economy, but just, I think, a very good chance also to bolster many investments in those new sectors.
Macron's popularity obviously was enough to win him the presidency, but it dropped off pretty dramatically after the election. Have these sorts of steps helped him turn that around?
Yes, certainly, because, you know, some people before the election were very, I would say, critical or even skeptical, you know, about his capacity to appear as a world leader. But no, Macron appears to have a voice, you know, in the world stage. You know, I was very recently in many different security forums, you know, in Romania, in Austria, in Canada, in Ukraine, etc., in Poland, and all the people, all the speakers were just discussing about you, Macron's proposals on the future of Europe. They were all talking about, his ambitions to make the planet great again, and this sort of things. And I think that France is back, you know, in the world stage. And I think that's quite important. Of course, he had a good chance because, of course, Trump, you know, is what he is. And of course, the UK, we leave the UK, we leave the EU, and also we have some difficulties, you know, for Angela Merkel to form, you know, her new cabinet. And from this point of view, I think France appears to be a sort of new leader of the free world. Of course, it's very fragile. No, we have to deliver because, of course, I think that the first months of Macron were very successful, you know, in the world stage. And so we can mention, you know, his speech in the UN General Assembly, basically founded on human rights. And France, I think, is must be one of the leaders, you know, in human rights matters. And Moscow must develop, you know, its ambitions, you know, in this realm. But of course, no, we have to deliver. And of course, the 5 years to come will be very critical because there are a lot of difficulties. And France, of course, has not the capacity of the U.S. From a military point of view, from an economic point of view. And of course, he has to convince the other EU nations just to go with him.
Okay. We'll leave it there. Nicolas Tenzer, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Nicolas Tenzer, editor of Revue Le Banquet and an associate professor at the Paris School of International Affairs.